we thank you. Tanisha, we thank you. Where are we this morning, church? If you're walking with us, what book are we in this morning? What chapter are we in this morning? 15. Amen. Somebody is walking with me. Amen. 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 And I know it's Mother's Day, and we didn't step out of the series. We are continuing to walk in Matthew chapter 15. If you would be kind enough to stand with us, I'd like to lift verses 21 through 28 from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15. Can we get the deacons? Can we thank God for our deacons this morning? Amen. Amen. We have a blessed leadership team in these deacons here. And our whole leadership team, I thank God. But I thank God for these men. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. And reading from the NASB, it says, Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. You may be seated. Our theme for today's message, as you pray, is pleasing God in unpleasant places. Pleasing God in unpleasant places. In other words, James Weldon Johnson. Stony the road we trod. Bitter the chastening rod. Felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Unpleasant places. Yet with a steady beat, have not I weary feet? Come to the place for which our fathers sighed. We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Unpleasant places. Out from the gloomy past, to now we stand at last. Where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Deacon Bell, unpleasant places. Though thou hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Pleasing God in unpleasant places. I want to read an excerpt from the book Beyond the Suffering, Dr. Robert Kellerman and Kara A. Edwards. Chapter 9 is entitled Sisters of the Spirit, mothers. In the South, they face slavery. In the North, prejudice. Everywhere, they confronted double oppression. They were black, and they were female. Their remarkable stories must be told for the sake of all women, regardless of race. Their independence and strength, boldness and courage, ministry and sacrifice, care and concern, despite overwhelming obstacles, provided extraordinary models for women today. The historical invisibility of African-American Christian women is inexcusable. As the following pages attest, history is replete with countless black female exemplars of soul care and spiritual direction. In other words, they learn to please God in unpleasant places. Their obscurity is due to our own willful blindness, not their lack of brilliancy. Shining a light on their stories illuminates for all of us the visible, palatable ways in which they sustained, healed, reconciled, and guided not only individuals, but an entire nation. Dr. Kellerman is a Caucasian professor speaking about African-American women pleasing God in unpleasant places. And on this annual Mother's Day, we reflect on the untold number of mothers who have committed their lives, regardless of color, to pleasing God in unpleasant places, unpleasant situations. Many of us are better because of the faith of our mothers and our grandmothers who learned to trust in God in unpleasant places. For all the mothers who find themselves today learning to trust God in unpleasant places, know that you're part of a great legacy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Apostle Paul reminded young Timothy, he said, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well." At that particular time, Timothy was in an unpleasant place. And Paul reminded him to stir up the gift within him because of what his grandmother and his mother had passed on to him. And God is saying to some of us this morning, stir up the gift within you because of what has been passed on to you by mom and grandma and those in our lives. But we have a mother in the text before us this morning, this afternoon, I should say, who modeled for us how we are to please God in unpleasant places in life. Let's move to the text. When we consider verses 21 through 22, this mother teaches us faith may be found where least expected. Faith may be found where least expected. Listen to the text. Jesus went away from there. Somebody underline there. And withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." First, notice, in the context of this whole chapter, Jesus had just finished dealing with the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, in the opening of this chapter. And what he does, he leaves them who really didn't want to accept him, and he withdrew from Galilee, a predominant Jewish region, and he went to the district of Tyre and Sidon, a predominant Gentile region. See it in the text. Understand, it was the norm for Jews to avoid Gentile territory out of prejudice and fear. And it's amazing to me today how prejudice and fear still reign in this country. Born of racism, not only dividing America, but hindering the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, Jesus prays for the church. He didn't pray for the black church. He didn't pray for the white church. He didn't pray for the Spanish church, for the Asian church. He prayed for the church. And we see him now shifting his focus. On purpose, he leaves, brothers and sisters, a predominant Jewish area, and on purpose, he go into two Gentile cities. Known, watch this, for their uncleanness. Now, the conversation he had with the Pharisees was about what's clean and what's unclean. And isn't it amazing that now he moved from that conversation with them discussing what's clean and what's unclean, and he takes his disciples into a Gentile city that's known for uncleanness, an unpleasant place. Pharisees, they look clean on the outside, but Deacon Cofield, they were not clean on the inside. And Jesus called them a hypocrite. That's a warning to us. Let's not dress up the outside and fail to deal with the inside. In verse 21, the text informs us, Jesus went away from there. He left the region where the Pharisees, where the Jews were, and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. He left an area where people said they were clean, but they were really unclean. And he went to an area where people were known to be unclean. The ones who said they were clean and were really unclean were the same ones with the word of God. They had the written revelation of God. So they should have known how to get clean. But they were saying they're clean, they're clean, we're clean. But inside, they were unclean. So Jesus called them hypocrites. Then he went on purpose to a place where people were known to be unclean. Are y'all walking with me? People who didn't have the word of God. The Jews of that day would have said, "You're going to an unclean place. We're not going with you there." But the disciples went with him. Church, if Jesus went beyond the walls of the synagogue with the gospel into unpleasant places, should not we also go beyond the walls of the church with the gospel into unpleasant places, trusting that God has people who belong to him? You just don't know it yet, but they are his people in unpleasant places waiting for us to come by and offer them a drink of fresh water, of living water. Outside of these walls, we must go and let someone know. Notice the text. Notice the text, verse 22. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out, began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." Jesus left the religious Pharisees filled with indignation and met a Canaanite mother who came to him in desperation with determination. We don't have time this morning, but in Deuteronomy chapter 7, we see when God sent Israel out, the Canaanites were one of the nations he told them to utterly destroy. So the Jews hate the Canaanites. Now here Jesus is leaving those who profess to be saved, profess to be righteous, and he goes to an area that they would dare not go. They saw it as an unpleasant place. But in this unpleasant place is a mother in need. Little Forrest, how many mothers are in need in places we deem unpleasant? How many mothers are waiting with children that need to know what you know? Canaanite woman had a need that landed her in an unpleasant place. She was desperate. Her daughter was cruelly demon-possessed, severely oppressed by a demon. And when we look at what's going on in some of our communities, it looked like the devil is alive and well. And you know, we may not be able to handle all of the problems ourselves, but Jesus can handle the problems. When was the last time you prayed? If you're not involved in YWA, if you don't go out with YWA, oh, I got promoted, then I didn't say waiver. If you're not involved, are you praying for those who go out each week? Are we sincerely praying for those who do not know Christ? There are mothers who are being abused. And this mother speaks to us today. She says to us, there are those with some faith in unpleasant places. If you're willing to go, if you're willing to knock on some doors, if you're willing to spend some time, Jesus with purpose goes to Sidon and Tyre. Who's going with purpose outside of these walls? Not just to share a piece of bread, but to share the bread of life. We must be armed and understand this book that we can share it with someone. It's not for us to change them. We plant, we water. Who gives the increase? Children addicted to drugs. Children being sold as sex slaves. Children being abused by their own fathers. They need somebody to come. The question is, will we like Jesus go with purpose into the unpleasant places where faith is least expected? Places all around us. Jesus didn't wait for that lady to come to the synagogue. She wasn't coming over to Galilee. We can't wait for people to come into this building. Most neat. We consider verse 23. Not only does she tell us that we'll find faith in some places that we don't expect to find it, but verse 23, she teaches us that we need to allow Jesus to not only challenge our faith, but to grow our faith. You said, "Pastor, I don't know my Bible well enough to go out there." But guess what? Jesus is inviting you to the table. He's saying, I want to help you grow. Listen to verse 23. But he did not answer her a word. She made a plea to the Lord. But watch who speaks up. And his disciples came and implored him. They begged him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. After the benediction, all across this nation, there will be those who will leave the church the same way they came in, even with smiles on their faces. That does not have to be the truth for you or me. We ought to leave with this word in our hearts. We ought to leave with a desire for God to make this word fruitful in our hearts. Sunday is not just about celebration. Yes, we ought to celebrate. But when we finish shouting, he didn't give us the Holy Spirit just to make us shout. He said, I want to lead and guide you in truth. Now, if God's Spirit is in us, it's not just to make us feel good. It's to be used of him. Notice in verse 23, notice the disposition of the disciples. They begged Jesus, send this mother away. They saw her as unworthy to be helped by Jesus. They failed to realize Jesus had come with purpose into this region, not only to teach this supposed pagan mother, but also to teach them and to teach us. What is he going to teach us, Pastor? What it means to be clean and what it means to be unclean. That's the subject before us today. What does it mean to be clean? What does it mean to be unclean? The religious Pharisees said they were clean. They said that over there inside and all those folks are unclean. Let's make sure we don't have that attitude. Looking at the outside saying, I'm clean. Remember, the disciples were listening to Jesus as he was teaching the Pharisees the difference between clean and unclean. Look at verse 11 and 12 in chapter 15. 11 and 12 say, it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. Can I say it again? It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man. We think we somebody because Sneed doesn't drink anymore. I put down the bottle. But that doesn't make me somebody. He said it's not what goes into the mouth. And I'm not trying to tell you to go out and start drinking either. But don't miss the point. It's not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Watch, how many of us are watching what we say? Starting right there at home, how do you speak to your spouse? How do you speak to your children? How do you speak to your mom, to your dad? What comes out of your mouth comes out of your heart. And Jesus said, that's what defiles a man. When you get angry, you get upset. Does your mouth go on uncontrolled? James said, be quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to get angry. God's righteousness doesn't come out of man's anger. The 12th verse. Then the disciples came, watch this, and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? Jesus, the disciples approaches him. Said, do you know you made them upset? Jesus said in so many words, our greatest need isn't clean hands, isn't physical cleansing. Because they were talking about washing their hands. Our greatest need, Jesus says, is a changed heart. What comes out of our mouth comes from the heart. How many times during the day do we wash our hands? And rightly so, you know, to prevent the spread of germs. Wherever you go now, you got these little things you can wash your hands. So, course of the day, depending upon where you're going, you probably wash your hands a number of times. But compared How many times a day do we wash our hearts with the Word of God? And I'm not talking about picking up reading the book every hour, but how many times do you meditate on the truth you read last night? How many times during the course of a day do you let the Word flow through your mind? Help to adjust your attitude. To help you where you need help at. The disciples were being introduced to a deeper truth. For them, that was an unpleasant place. They wanted to remain in shallow truth. You know, they had the book. They knew that Israel, the Jews, were the people that God had come to first. But Jesus said, let me take you deeper. That became unpleasant. Somebody here this morning is unpleasant when I say that God wants you to go out of here to an unpleasant place. It's uncomfortable for you. But brothers and sisters, God doesn't want us to keep walking in anchor deep truth when he's calling us to come out into waste deep truth. We can walk around all day long comfortable in anchor deep truth, but God is saying, I want you to grow. Come on out here and waste deep truth. This Canaanite woman, she just stepped off the shore. Man, she went down and she's under the water. In truth. And you don't even expect to find that kind of truth inside them. We become dull spiritually. We miss opportunities when we want to stay in anchor deep truth. He was calling the disciples, come. Let's go deeper in this thing. The first thing we need as a Christian is a new heart. A heart that has been changed by the gospel. A heart that can be taught by the Holy Spirit. That can perceive and receive spiritual truth. If you can't process spiritual truth, have you been born again? Romans 9:10-9 said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Shall believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Life begins and flows from the heart. We grow spiritually as we submit our hearts to the Word of God. Peter said it this way, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Reverend and Sister Mapp is going to have a little girl in the house soon. She won't be talking, but she'll be crying. Give me the bottle. Change my diaper. Just like that baby, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. This mother in the text is instructing us to look for faith where we least expect it. Don't turn your back on people because they don't look like you. They don't think like you. Look for faith there. But she's also teaching us to allow Jesus to not only challenge our faith, but to grow our faith. Notice, God has greater. I said God has greater. Will you receive that? God has greater for you. Finally, I'm ready to take my seat. This mother is instructing us. Verses 24-28, she's telling us that trouble can be a blessing to our souls, and a reason for us to persevere deeper in prayer. Listen to the text. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, oh, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Remember, the disciples was observing, they were observing what had happened between Jesus and his mother. They was watching what was going on. And Jesus presented this encounter as a teachable moment, not only for the Canaanite woman to help her learn that God can meet her in unpleasant places. And if she's pleasing to God, God will bless her in unpleasant places. But he was also sharing with the disciples, helping them to see that we need to share the gospel across cultural lines. And for us, that may be an unpleasant place, but we ought to be able to do this for his glory and for his honor. First, let's look at the woman. She, the mother, I should say, she recognized who Jesus was. Verse 22, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. Now, if you want to be blessed in an unpleasant place, you need to know who he is. Now, those that he left in Galilee would not recognize him for who he was. But he comes into a Gentile territory where this woman no doubt had heard about him and didn't have a problem with that, but believed. Will you believe God? And you watch the depth of her belief. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. Brothers and sisters, when you call on God, when we call on God, does he hear us? And more important, does he hear us addressing him with proper reverence? Do we know who God is? The way she approached him, it said that she knew who God is. It's a blessing to be able to say, Abba, Father, and know that God hears your prayer. It's a blessing to be able to say, our Father. But next, notice also what this mother is teaching us. Not only did she know who he was or who he is, notice how she was so patient in this unpleasant place. Look at how many times he said no, but it didn't put out her faith. But he did not answer her a word. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered again and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Brothers and sisters, she had patience. We can get upset in unpleasant places, become impatient. And rather than to pray out of reverence, we pray in indignation. Not our Father, but Father, why me? Why not that hellion across the street? But notice this, that this mother is teaching us. She's giving us nuggets. How we can please God in unpleasant places. And if you haven't been in an unpleasant place, keep on living. Christians get in unpleasant places. And you need to know how to persevere in prayer. The Spirit says to every Christian, ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened. Do you believe God? Will you wait on God? Will you trust God? God will be true to his word. He said to the woman, oh, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter, mothers ought to be identified with this. If anybody's praying, mothers will pray. I know my mom prayed for me. I was foolish. I put myself in places I shouldn't have been. But I thank God that mama kept praying. And this mother kept praying. She didn't stop at the first no. She didn't stop at the second no. She didn't stop at the third no. She said, I understand that you were sent to the Jews first. I understand that the Gentiles have to wait their turn. But I need help today. My daughter is extremely being abused by the devil. I need help today. We need some mothers that are going to pray like this. I may not deserve you stopping by my house, but Jesus, I'm calling on you. We need some mothers that's willing to intercede. And the text says Jesus recognized. I'm going to tell you, there's something God will do that you will never do. And we say, well, that's just in the book. No, he manifests it in reality. He brings it into the present. Secondly, let us not miss the point that unpleasant places in life are not just about what God desires to do in us. He did some things in this woman. But unpleasant places are not just about that. Because he was teaching the disciples also, as he teaches us. Brothers and sisters, he was teaching them that you got to be willing to cross over racial boundaries. And they you know, you remember Peter said, Lord, in that dream, I don't eat anything unclean. What you mean eat? No, I don't eat anything unclean. God said, eat, Peter. God caused him to get up the next day and go to Cornelius' house, a Gentile. God want to do some things through us. He doesn't want us to go to heaven just ourselves. It's not about us just being saved on my way to heaven. There's somebody that need to hear the love of God through you. And he knew he was going to lead these disciples. He knew that they needed help. They need to be taught what it means to love God. With all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your might. He wanted them to see that the fields were ripe, not just in Jerusalem, but even over there in Sidon. The harvest is plenteous. Brothers and sisters, the harvest is plenteous. How do we please God in unpleasant places? Make sure you're not calling what's unclean, clean. Jesus said, it's not what goes in your mouth. It's what comes out of your mouth. To be clean means to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. To be clean means to be led by the Spirit of God. To be clean is not about being perfect. It's about walking with God, and a day will come when we will answer. But I'm glad to report on this Mother's Day that God is still using mothers to do amazing things. Even in this house, when I think about the work of mothers, and there may be a mother here today who know that God has something for your hands to do more than they're doing, we invite you to come. We invite you to trust the Lord. Trust the living God because he loves you. This mother teaches us today how to please God in unpleasant places. Let us stand to our feet.